Good morning. Welcome to our morning service on 26 April 2020. Good to see everybody, and I hope that you'll enjoy today's service here during our lockdown. So we'll be posting prayer requests to Facebook and YouTube. Feel free to do the same, to post prayer requests and blessings. But we'll sing a hymn together, go to God, straight to God's Word, but first, birthday's Brandon Jones on the 29th, so be sure to wish him a birthday this week, and we'll keep up with those birthdays and anniversaries as well. We'll keep you posted on when the lockdown will end. Probably, I'm guessing, the Wednesday night, the 13th or something like that, we'll be able to go back to church, but we'll see. We'll keep you posted. In the meantime, let's sing Take Time to Be Holy. I will have already posted the lyrics onto the Facebook page to help you sing along with us. So let's sing Take Time to Be Holy to begin our service today. Take time to be holy. Sang with us there at home in your family time, and it's good to have everybody with us. We're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy, if you want to turn in your Bibles this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I know this passage will be a blessing to you, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at just two verses, verses 12 and 13 of 1 Timothy 4. The Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." So that'll be our title, reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your blessings upon your word in this service. I pray you'll guide us in your truth, and that the Holy Spirit would have free course in every heart that's listening. Lord, that we would grow through this time in your word. Lord, if there's someone not saved, they'll realize that they must be born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, the only Savior. So have your will and way in every heart in this service. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this passage, the Apostle Paul is revealing the importance of being an example, but he also then reveals how it's possible. As we all know, it's tough to live the Christian life. There's this, always this battle with the flesh. But God wants us to be an example as a Christian. But then he tells us how there in verse 13 when he talks about reading, exhortation, and doctrine, which we'll look at later on. But first, I want to focus on verse 12, where he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Now, he was specifically writing to Timothy, his preacher boy, and he was saying, you're younger and don't let people despise your youth, but God wants all of us to be an example, and our age should be irrelevant as far as our physical age, as well as our spiritual age. But in this passage, he gives many different ways in which he wants us to be an example of a good Christian. And we're going to talk about those this morning. But, you know, being an example is scriptural. The Apostle Paul told the folks there in 1 Corinthians, he said, "Be therefore followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." In other words, follow my example. And Philippians 4:9, he said, "The things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." So again, Paul using himself and saying, follow my example. God wants us to be an example of a good Christian. And so let's walk through verse 12 and just quickly talk about each of these areas. And I want you to think, am I an example in that area of a godly Christian? And he starts off with the one that we struggle with the most, and that is word, our tongue. You know, James said, "In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body." In other words, the tongue gets us in a lot of trouble. And we all understand this, that God expects us to be an example in our words and the things that we say. Now, I'm going to run through some passages here in Proverbs just quickly and just show you how important it is that we keep our tongue under control. I'm not going to give you time to turn to all of these because there's a lot, but I just want to show you that the wisest man that ever lived outside of Christ had a lot to say about keeping our tongue in check. So I'm going to just read the passages and then the references and then the passages. Proverbs 10:11, "The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life." Proverbs 10:20, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver." Proverbs 10:21, "The lips of the righteous feed many." Proverbs 10:31, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom." Proverbs 10:32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." Proverbs 12:18, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Proverbs 13:3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Proverbs 15:7, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge." Proverbs 15:26, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination of the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Proverbs 17:27, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words." Proverbs 18:4, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters." And Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Proverbs 21:23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Proverbs 25:11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." Do you think God wants us to be an example in our word? And that's why he started there, because if we can't control the tongue, we're out of control. And the tongue gets us into more trouble than any other member of the body, as we know in the book of James. So the first area that God wants us to be an example of Christianity is in our tongue, in the things that we say. Then he goes on to say in conversation. Now that word conversation is an older usage of the word, which means our overall demeanor, our overall behavior. And God wants us to be an example in our conversation. Philippians 1:27, if you want to turn there, we'll see that this is an area where God expects us to be Christ-like, is in our behavior and what people see and how we act. Notice Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." So our conversation, our behavior needs to be a reflection of our testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. In James 3:13, "Who is a wise man and a doer with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So in word, we're to be an example. In conversation, we're to be an example. Then it goes on to say in charity. Now, we all understand that God makes it very clear that we are to have charity. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about charity, which is talking about the relationship we're to have with one another as God's children. Most of us are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Verse 4, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is the kind of charity that we're to have. And you know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 13, he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. This love among brothers and sisters in Christ, God refers to it here as charity. And he wants us to be an example in word, in conversation, in charity. Then he goes on to say, in spirit. In spirit. He wants our spirit, which has been made alive through God's salvation by the Holy Spirit, to be an example. In other words, who we are now. And the Spirit should be controlling our lives rather than the flesh. And this should be evident because we are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Bible says in Romans 12, 11, we're to be fervent in spirit. In other words, on fire for God. 1 Corinthians 6, 20, you're bought without price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, we should be spiritual. It should be obvious that the spirit is controlling us rather than the flesh, because the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other, Galatians 5, 17. So God wants us to be an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. Then what does he say? Faith. Faith. Hebrews 12, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God wants us to be an example of a Christian who trusts God no matter what. Trust ye in the Lord forever, the Bible says. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, Isaiah 26, 4. Be an example in trusting God with childlike faith. Believe that God can do anything because he can, and never doubt him. We're to be an example in faith. In other words, people should know that we trust God. We believe that God answers prayer. We believe that God's a miracle-working God and will never leave us nor forsake us and watches over us. So be an example in faith. And then he finishes in 1 Timothy 4:12 by saying in purity. Go to 1 John 3:3. But God expects every believer in Jesus Christ to live a life of purity. Of purity. Notice 1 John 3. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So there God's talking about our great hope of anticipating Jesus coming back and making us like him. But verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The return of Jesus Christ should have a purifying effect in our lives. As we anticipate his return, we should be ready by living a life of purity and holiness. So, God wants us to be an example. In these many areas, we all have a responsibility to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, 16. So, are you an example in word? In what you say? Are you an example in conversation? In your behavior? Are you an example in charity? Do you show the love for one another that God expects you to show through your actions, through your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you an example in spirit? Is it obvious that the spirit is controlling your life rather than the flesh? And are you an example in faith? Are you a Christian who people know you trust God and you believe God for miracles and for answered prayer, that you never doubt him? And then are you an example in purity? Do you live a pure life for the Lord? These are some areas where God expects us to be an example of a Christian. Now, what God does in this next verse is he tells us how to do it. Because it's a struggle. We all know this. We have a new nature, but we still struggle with the old nature. And so God goes on to tell us how it's possible to be an example of the believers in these different areas: word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. These six areas. How's that even possible? What does he say? Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. My friend, if you'll do those three things daily, it will help you to be an example of the believers. So let's talk about those three things this morning. He wants us to be an example, and now he's told us how. Number one, reading. Now, we all know he's talking about mostly reading this. But this day and age, especially this generation, they aren't interested in reading like we used to be, are they? It's all about electronics now. But what God is mainly telling us here is we need to be reading his word. He says on down in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Meditate. So as we read God's word every day, it gives us something to meditate on. But if we're not reading it, then that's not available. We need to make God's word a priority in our lives by reading it every day. If we would ask one another this question, just one question every day when we see each other: did you read God's word today? Try it. Wouldn't it be great if every time we asked a brother or sister that question, the answer was, yes, I read God's word today. Just ask each other that one question. God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. In Psalm 1, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. We don't read enough today. We need to be reading God's word. We need to be reading good books written by godly people. But we need to be reading. Did you know that the Bible has 1,189 chapters? And if we read just over three chapters a day, we can read the whole Bible in a year. It's not as daunting as it sounds. Everybody can read three or four chapters a day. Did you know if you just wanted to read the New Testament, if you just read four chapters a day, just of the New Testament, you could read the entire New Testament in about 4 months. We can do this. Give yourself to reading. Two chapters a day. You read two chapters a day in the New Testament, you're reading the whole New Testament in 4 months. So we're to be an example of the believers in these six areas. How do we do it? Number one, reading. Are you reading God's word every day? If your brothers and sisters in Christ got into the habit of every time they went to shake your hand and saw you, they said, did you read God's word today? Your answer should always be, I did. Number two, exhortation. Talking about seeing each other on a regular basis. We're not getting to do that during this lockdown. But Lord willing, very soon we'll be back in church and we'll be able to see each other. And when we do, do you know what God wants us to be doing? Exhorting one another. We actually gain strength from each other. One of the reasons why God wants us to assemble. Not the only reason. Obviously, one of the main reasons is faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we can hear in public the preached and taught word of God. But when we come together, one of the reasons is for exhortation. You know that most of us know Hebrews 10, and let's turn there, verses 24 and 25, where God makes it very clear that one of the reasons that he doesn't want us to forsake our assembling is so that we have an opportunity to encourage, exhort, admonish each other, edify. Notice Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, verse 25, Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There it is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. God wants us to get together on a regular basis. And one of the reasons is that we can exhort one another. And when we ask, how are you doing? We're honest. Actually, I'm struggling with this sin, or I'm struggling in this particular trial. Then we say, I'll pray for you. Exhort one another. I'm praying for you. How can I help you? How can I be a blessing to you? We don't do that enough. But God says if we will exhort one another and we get exhorted, it will help us to be that example that he wants us to be. We're to be exhorting one another. Acts 14:22, talking about when Paul and his helpers went to encourage the people that he had led to the Lord and the churches he had planted. Look what he says, Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. There it is. One of the reasons that he went back and revisited these churches he had planted was to exhort, to encourage, to help, to edify, to lift up, to admonish. And this is one of the tools that God has given us to be an example, not only that we need to be reading his word, but we need to be fellowshipping with God's people. And when we do, it's not just to say hi, it's also to exhort. I love you. I'm praying for you. I heard you have a need. How can I help? Exhorting one another. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That means to lift up, to encourage. This is something God wants us to do all the time. If you go to Hebrews 3, this is a very interesting verse, Hebrews 3:13. And so during the lockdown, let's be using texting, let's be using emails to do this. Look what it says, Hebrews 3:13. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. Look for an opportunity to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ daily. But of course, when we get back to church, we can do it face to face. And so God says that we're to be exhorting one another, and getting that exhortation from God's people is one of the ways that we're equipped to be that example of the believers. Go to Romans 15, verse 4. I want to show you that we can also exhort one another with his word. When your brother or sister tells you they're hurting, they're struggling, or they're going through a trial, whatever, encourage them with the word of God. Romans 15:4, that whatsoever things are written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Notice it says comfort of the scriptures. These scriptures offer comfort. And when we get together, we can offer that comfort of the scriptures to one another. So Paul says, I want you to be an example in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. He says, and here is how you can do it. Number one, give yourself attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. And then lastly, look what he says, to doctrine. Doctrine. Doctrine is another word for truth. What he's saying is we not only need to be reading this every day, we need to be studying it. We need to be well-versed in the truths of God's word. And the more that we are grounded in doctrine, the more we're equipped to be an example of the believers. He says down in verse 16, look at 1 Timothy 4, which is our passage. On down 16, he says, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Keep studying. Keep up with the doctrine. So yes, read, but also study. And you know, the Bible says of this day and age, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is here. People don't want to go to church and learn truth anymore. They want to go to church to be entertained, to be told everything's wonderful, to be told you're not a sinner, to be told there's no hell, just to be told everything's great, and just be happy and let's have a party. No, sometimes we go to church because we need to be rebuked by the word. We need to be reminded that there's areas in our life that need changed. And we need to be taught the truths of God's word. That's called doctrine. And the time has come when people will not endure it. But Jesus said, search the scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 39. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said, search the book. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Study, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't rightly divide the word of truth if you don't study it. And doctrine is one of the ways that we'll be equipped to be an example. And where does doctrine come from? One place, right here. Jesus, back in Matthew 15, if you want to turn there, verse 9, he was rebuking the religious leaders. And one of the things that he was rebuking them for was replacing God's doctrine with man's doctrine. Notice what he said, Matthew 15, verse 9. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines. In other words, taking man's commandments, man's ideas, man's additions to the word, if you will, and teaching those as doctrine. And it's not doctrine. Doctrine only comes from the truth, and only God is true. And that still goes on today, of course, in a lot of churches. But then, if you go to 1 Timothy 3:15, we'll see how this all ties together as far as assembling and exhorting one another. Is another way that we're to be growing in doctrine so that we can be a better example of Christianity is going to church. So it all fits together because he says, 1 Timothy 3:15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That could easily say the pillar and ground of doctrine. Where does God want us to be learning doctrine? In here. In the church. Our church. He wants us to be learning truths of God's word at our church in our own personal Bible study. In doctrine. He says, give attendance to reading, give attendance to exhortation, and give attendance to doctrine. And let me tell you, this day and age, there's a lot of false doctrine out there. And God said, be careful. Go to Ephesians 4, and we'll see this, where Paul warned the Ephesians. And let me tell you, that warning is even more applicable today with the internet, with all the cults. There's so much false doctrine available, and it's very dangerous to Christians who won't study. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, we got to be studying doctrine or we're going to be led astray by false doctrine. Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried away or about with divers and strange doctrines. And 2 John chapter 1, if they're coming unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. God said, if somebody comes to your door and they're not bringing you doctrine from God's word that's true, don't receive them into your house. Why? Don't expose yourself to false doctrine. Avoid it. So he's saying to Timothy, I want you to be an example. He says to us, I want you to be an example of Christianity to this world, this lost and dying world, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I want you to be an example in these six areas. And here is one of the ways that you can be equipped. Number one, give attendance to reading. Be reading God's word. Number two, give attendance to exhortation. Be looking for those opportunities to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If there's a fellowship, go to it. If there's a church service, be there. But look for opportunities to spend time with your brothers and sisters. And when you are together, don't just be super light about it, but encourage and exhort one another. Look for ways to be a blessing and a help to each other, to lift each other up. So give attendance to reading, give attendance to exhortation, and give attendance to doctrine. Every believer should be studying God's word that we might be an approved workman that needed not to be ashamed. And when those people do come to the door that bring false doctrine, we're ready because we know doctrine. So it comes back to the word of God, doesn't it? And being with God's people. Give attendance to reading, give attendance to exhortation, and give attendance to doctrine, because I want you to be an example of the believers in word and conversation and spirit and in charity and faith and purity. I want you to be an example. We can all be an example of Christians. And God wants us to be that example. And there will come a day He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready. How do we be ready? By giving attendance to reading, giving attendance to exhortation, and giving attendance to doctrine. I hope we'll take heed to this great truth in our own lives and be what God wants us to be, and that is an example of the believers, and give attendance to reading, give attendance to exhortation, and give attendance to doctrine. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word and for speaking to us from it. I pray that every person who has heard this message has a desire to be an example in these areas, Lord. And we'll daily read the word of God, and we'll study God's word and look for opportunities to be with God's people so we can be an exhortation to one another. Lord, we are thankful for what you've done for us, and pray we can be that reflection of Jesus to others. I pray for anyone who's listening who's not saved, Lord, that they'll realize they must be born again, as Jesus said, so that they also then could be an example of the believers. Thank you. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight at 5 o'clock as we continue in the book of Job.